You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Here with your host, Tim Link. I'm so glad you could join us today. We have a great guest today. My guest is author and president of the Humane Society of the United States, Wayne Pacelli. So Wayne's joining us. He'll be here talking to us today about his recently released book, The Bond, Our Kinship with Animals and Our Call to Defend Them. So it's a great book, a lot of detailed information in there, and it details the really the eternal bond with the animals that we have in our life and the animals in the world, and how we need to answer to the needs of those animals, especially those animals at risk. So without further ado, I want to welcome Wayne Pacelli to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Wayne, thanks for joining us today.
Tim, my pleasure. Thanks for all the great radio broadcasting you do about animal issues.
We appreciate it. We think what you guys do there is fantastic work. It's ever-ending work, but it needs to be done, and we're out there rooting for those animals every single day.
I know you are, and you're so right. It is never-ending, but we've got to keep plugging away, so thank you very much.
That's right. That's great. Well, tell us a little bit about the new book, The Bond.
Well, you know, in many ways, it was a life's work for me. I have always been concerned about animals, and I really had a kinship with them before anybody told me, you know, that being mean to animals or cruel to animals was wrong. I mean, it just never even occurred to me to do any harm to an animal. And I was fascinated by animals when I was a kid. And as I grew up, that feeling just continued to strengthen, and I then began to devote my adult life to animal advocacy. And this book is really the culmination of all that work. It captures my 25 years of kind of full-time advocacy and activism for animals. I take the reader all around North America and to many other places, to the ice floes of Canada, to see what was going on with the seals and what is going on with the seals and the killing of them, to the area in and around Yellowstone National Park where bison are threatened, down to Katrina during the pet rescue that occurred in the horrible days after the hurricane struck and New Orleans flooded, to Leavenworth Penitentiary, where I met with Michael Vick just as he was closing out his very much deserved prison term, and so many other places. And I really talk about this eternal bond that we've had with animals. But I also say that other forces trump and overpower that bond and have led society to conduct many forms of cruelty. And I highlight the contradictory notions that exist in our society toward animals, and that's one of the core elements of the bond.
Yeah, and I think it's the key thing behind it is, and I wanted to ask you about that. I know you detail a little bit more in the book, but I want listeners to understand this as well, because what is the cause of this? Because like you, when I was growing up, I had this real kinship with animals, love affair for animals, didn't really understand anything that was potentially going wrong with them. But as I got more involved with rescue organizations and animal causes, it's just it seems it's getting greater and greater every day. Do you think it's just a society shift, and are we correcting that ship and shift in the right direction?
Well, you know, we've always had a real disparity in power between us and animals. I mean, we've always had the advantage with our incredible brain as a species and all of the technological innovations that we've had over time. We had an advantage. That disparity and that advantage is growing greater by the day with all of the power that we exert over animals and the natural world. And I think that separation, that kind of loss of a connection to animals, you know, through factory farming and industrial agriculture and through puppy mills and through so many other things, I mean, we've simply lost the touch with animals in many settings. And a lot of people don't know what's going on, or they choose not to think about it. And I wrote the book to elevate the discussion about these issues and to really call people to a new level of awareness and action with respect to our responsibilities to animals. You know, I just think that we're tugged and pulled. You know, the good news is that this bond that we have as kids is instinctive. It's positive. It runs in the right direction. But then we're also pulled in the direction of selfishness and tradition and profit at the expense of animals. And it's that dynamic and that tug and pull that I wrestle with in the book. And I essentially, you know, want more movement in the direction of goodness and decency toward animals. And obviously that's the entire purpose of the book.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that awareness, that's the key thing, but we just got to become more aware of who we are in a society and what our purpose is and how we can help those animals.
Absolutely. And, you know, it takes so many things. You know, it's the animals in our lives. It's the food that we eat. It's the clothing we wear. It's so many daily decisions. You know, this is not some far off issue. This is not just an abstract concern. You know, we live in this very, you know, big era of globalization and we hear about distant problems. Well, this issue is right in every one of our lives. And we can make choices every day to vote, you know, for cruelty or against cruelty with our dollars and with our daily decisions. And I'm asking people to think about all of these decisions and to do better when it comes to animals.
Absolutely. As you just highlighted, I mean, not only giving of our tithing, our treasures, you know, our funds to help causes, because that's desperately needed to help groups like yourself bring that to the forefront, but also just the time, getting involved, making yourself aware and putting in the time and effort to help out.
No question. And, you know, there's so much more philanthropy and so much more advocacy for animals. Now there are 10,000 groups in the United States that are operating to help animals, whether they are shelters or rescue groups or wildlife rehabilitation centers or rabbit rescue or, you know, rescue of any animal you can think of, or whether it's national organizations that look at the wide range of problems like the Humane Society of the United States. There's so much advocacy. The flip side of that, of course, is that all of these groups are needed in the first place. I mean, why is there so much cruelty to necessitate this level of advocacy and activism? And, you know, this is the tension that exists in our society on this issue. There are many industries and many people who just want things to stay the way they are. They have an attitude that animals are things or objects or economic instrumentalities, resources in the waiting. And, you know, I think we're challenging this notion and saying, hey, we have principles and values as a society. And one of those principles is that we should be good to animals. We oppose cruelty. We've got to logically apply that standard in all settings with all animals and not just reserve it for some animals at some of the time, but to apply this general principle to the way we treat animals. So it doesn't mean that, you know, it means that farm animals are not excluded. It means that animals who are the victims of animal testing are not excluded. It means that wildlife are not excluded. All animals matter. And I'm trying to deliver that message by traveling around the country and talking about the bond.
Yeah, and I think you do an excellent job of that. We're going to take a quick break here, Wayne, but everybody hang tight. We're coming back here with Wayne Pacelli talking about his new book, The Bond, Our Kinship with Animals and Our Call to Defend Them. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
Buster. You're telling me my dog food products can't go on your shelves?
That's right. Didn't pass one of my Petco certified nutrition checklists. Sorry, Wayne.
Who made these checklists?
Geniuses. Very smart guys.
Well, it's good enough for most grocery stores.
Do you see cheese puffs on my shelves? Mayonnaise? Soda pop?
No.
That's because I ain't running no grocery store, Wayne. Your pets will get better nutrition. I guarantee it. Petco, where the healthy pets go.
Enter the code LUCKY10, LUCKY, the number 10, and get 10% off any order. No minimum. At Petco.com.
Whether they're big, small, hairy, or whatever, you're going to need gear for your feet. And Kids Foot Locker's got all the great shoes and gear that'll get you in the game.
Go to KidsFootLocker.com and enter the code AFANW1KF to get 10% off any order of $50 or more. Or enter the code AFANW2KF to get 15% off any order of $75 or more at KidsFootLocker.com.
And cover those funky feet.
FTD's network of over 40,000 florists around the world have been creating beautiful handcrafted arrangements for 100 years. Each arrangement is delivered the same day and backed by FTD's 7-day satisfaction guarantee. For a century, people have trusted their most important occasions to the flower experts at FTD.
Since Pet Life Radio is all about puppy dogs and flowers, our listeners, that's you, can get a 20% discount on your order. Just go to florop.com and use the code LUCKIES20 at checkout. FLEUROP.com. Code word LUCKYS and the number 20.
Pet Life Radio presents Paranormal Pets, where you can always expect the unexpected. Each week we'll discuss all aspects of weird or spiritual animal encounters, ghosts, totems, psychic animals, animal souls, animal angels, and animals in religion, with a little cryptozoology thrown in. Step into the supernatural world of pets with your Paranormal Pets ghostly host, Dusty Rainbolt, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Listen to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. You're here with Tim Link today, and we've got Wayne Pacelli of the Humane Society of the United States talking to us about his new book, The Bond, Our Kinship with Animals and Our Call to Defend Them. Now, Wayne, right before the break, we had highlighted the fact that perhaps people are a little bit more aware of what's going on with our domesticated animals, dogs and cats, maybe perhaps horses. But your work and the work that's done at the Humane Society of the United States covers a lot of different animals, types of animals and causes. Are there certain ones in the forefront now? I know you mentioned earlier in the show some of them, but which really stand out as saying we've got to really open ourselves up a little bit wider to helping the animals?
Right. You know, we've got a big picture view of things at the Humane Society of the United States, and we really do carry on campaigns on multiple fronts. So we do have four or five major campaigns. We are working to upgrade anti-cruelty laws and to combat dogfighting and cockfighting. Those are, you know, all horrible activities. There's no defense for them. Society agrees with us on this, and it's a question of kind of execution, enforcing the laws, making sure that we're reaching young kids before they go down this path. The second big area is puppy mills and pet overpopulation. You know, we as a nation are euthanizing 3.5 million dogs and cats, most of them healthy and adoptable animals. And, you know, that's a tragedy. And at the very same time, we've got 10,000 puppy mills churning out dogs for the pet trade. I mean, what kind of schizophrenia is that when, you know, we're spending $1.5 billion on sheltering and animal homelessness, yet we have policies that do not prohibit people from mistreating dogs on these puppy mills and churning out so many of them for the pet trade. A third big issue is factory farming. 10 billion animals, that's billion with a B, raised for food in the United States every year. That's more animals slaughtered in the United States than there are people on the planet. I mean, the numbers are just absolutely staggering. And more of these animals are raised in industrial confinement conditions where there's really no farming going on. There's just meat, milk, and egg production. The animals are treated like cogs in a machine, and husbandry and standards of care have been lost, and the animals are often in confinement and not living a decent life. I mean, yes, you know, at the end of the process, no matter how the animal's raised, the animal's slaughtered, but the quality of life does matter a bit, and I think that all of your listeners would certainly agree with that general sentiment. A fourth big area is the seal hunt in Canada and other killing of animals for fur. You know, in this day and age, we just don't need to do this to animals. We have natural fiber coats and synthetic coats. We can keep warm and be stylish without leaving a trail of animal victims behind. So those are a few of the issues, but we at HSUS work on so many big topics, and we want to be advocates for all of the animals.
Absolutely, and you guys do a great job with that. And you're right. I think it's just an overall awareness. People have got to wake up. You know, but I also want to ask you, what is that balance between having the legal aspect, you know, having government involvement in this, whether it's local, state, or federal government involved, compared to human work, you know, the advocacy that we do as human beings? How do you balance that? Is there one that holds a little bit more importance than the others?
You know, this issue is so vast, the issue of animals and how humans interact with them, that it requires, you know, work on so many fronts. I mean, it's a personal issue for all of us, and the daily choices that we make about pet care, about the food choices we make, about the clothing choices we make, about our own civic and political involvement, those have enormous implications for animals. I also think that institutions have a major role. Corporations have the opportunity to be bad actors or good actors. They can market products that are tested on animals or not tested on animals. They can sell fur coats, or they can sell cloth coats. They can sell animal products from factory farms or animal products that come from farmers who give the animals more of an opportunity to have a decent life. We also must look to our government institutions, the Congress and the state legislatures and local government, to executive agencies. I mean, everybody there has a role to play in the solution for animal protection. But frankly, Tim, I don't think it's that hard. You know, we're at the stage as a species in the year 2011 when we have so much human creativity. We have so much intelligence as a species. We can figure out how to live a good life without harming animals in the process. You know, when I'm up in Canada and I see these animals being clubbed and shot, that's the old economy at work. There aren't that many people interested in killing and clubbing seals. There are a lot more people interested in seeing seals and watching them and seeing this spectacle of a wildlife nursery. That's a much larger market. You can monetize that. That's the new humane economy at work when you have tourism that is grounded on the principle of care and compassion and interest and fascination with animals. So I'm hopeful about this new humane economy that that we're going to build, and the bond really lays out that case. And I hope it's one that inspires people all across the country.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's a new way. You know, it's like an old way of thinking coming back around again. And what I mean by that is, you know, when you take a look at Native American cultures in the early days, you know, they hunted animals and they wore fur and they ate the food, but they did it just in a very humane way and did it for necessity. And we're far beyond that now.
Exactly. And, you know, I trace back the bond, you know, this connection that humans have with animals. And I say that it's not just an invention of our modern age. It's always been present. And you look at hunting and gathering communities. You mentioned the Native Americans. And you can look even at tribal communities today in New Guinea or Brazil or the few remaining areas where tribal communities survive. They do kill animals, but they understand animals. They understand their behavior. They understand nature. They understand their place in it. When they do kill animals, they try to atone for it. They apologize to the animals. You know, that's very different than this idea of kind of mass production, factory farming, where the farmer's really not a farmer. I mean, he's just an operator, and there's no connection to the animals. I mean, you couldn't even count the number of animals on one of these egg factory farms. With 150,000 birds, you know, per house, they might have 10, 20, 30 houses. I mean, that is just mass, you know, organization of animals, population dynamics, and not individual care. That is a really far cry from what we had with agriculture and the ethic that really has existed, even without explanation, for so many generations before.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with you totally there. Now, Wayne, I'm sure you get asked this a lot. I know I get asked this a lot when I work. You know, I do a lot of work with animals and do a lot of work with rescue organizations. But, you know, as an animal lover and as an animal advocate, how do you deal with the challenges, the daily occurrences of dealing with animal cruelty and see what's going on, knowing that you're doing the right things and putting it all together? But how do you really deal with that on a personal level? And any advice for others out there that are involved in animal advocacy?
It's tough, Tim, because, you know, especially for me, so much information crosses my path about humanity's kind of lack of awareness and attentiveness to the needs of animals. So much cruelty is just part of my daily experience. At the same time, I also see so many good people, people like you and others who are trying to spread the word, people who are trying to live by these principles of opposition to cruelty, and we're really making some historic gains. I mean, in the years that I've been involved, the quarter century of being involved since I was a college student and very active on animal issues to now, it's been just a huge change. I mean, we've moved from the margins to the mainstream. We're now seeing the first progress against factory farming and bans on confinement of animals on these factory farms. We're beginning to see cracks in the puppy mill industry. We've made dog fighting a felony in all 50 states. We've outlawed cockfighting in all 50 states. Mississippi is going to become the 47th state to have felony-level penalties for malicious acts of cruelty. There's so much more awareness. And, you know, you rarely find anyone today who says that cruelty is acceptable, nor do you find many people who say that animals don't feel or suffer. Mm-hmm. So I think we've kind of solve some of the basic issues. Now the difficulty comes in applying these commonly accepted principles of opposition to cruelty, the emotional intelligence of animals, and putting them to work in our daily lives and holding, you know, people to these standards and to live by them, not just to speak them or to hold them up as a platitude, but to really live them. You know, if we really are concerned about animals, you've got to think about your food choices. I mean, this is just an awful circumstance, what's going on in these factory farms. And I just think there's so much more we can do in terms of being conscious and aware of the choices before us.
Yeah, and I think that's the key. You know, we have to step forward. We can't, you know, we have to petition our governments and the people that represent us to put these great laws in place and to watch after these things. But we can't just rely on them. We've actually got have a responsibility and an ability every day to make conscious choices. And believe me, if we're making conscious choices about what food we eat and what clothes we wear, it's the old saying of supply and demand. The demand for certain types of products developed and processed in certain ways will go away, and it'll start to solve the problem itself.
You know, there's no form of major change that occurred in American society that was ever easy. I mean, slavery took a long time to uproot. In fact, our nation fought a great civil war, and 600,000 young men died in that civil war. The women's suffrage movement was decades in the work. So nothing that's really big ever came easily. And when you're talking about kind of revamping the human relationship with animals and moving away from a relationship grounded on the misuse of power, on exploitation and harm, and moving toward a more merciful, alert approach to animals, that's not going to be easy. I mean, we have so many different institutions and so many different communities of people who, you know, really have thought that this is the only way to treat animals and to interact with them. It takes a while to deprogram people and to push people in a direction. Now, I happen to think that it's going to be better for us as individuals and better for us as a society. I mean, when you have factory farming, you don't just have animal cruelty. You have the loss of small farms, medium-sized farms, and the really unraveling of rural communities. You have environmental problems because animals aggregated together in such numbers produce enormous volumes of waste that goes into our environment untreated. You have public health threats because the animals are in such an unhealthy environment, we dose them with antibiotics to try to prevent them from getting sick, and then antibiotic-resistant bacteria develop and then threaten human health. So, you know, you can look at almost every animal issue and see that it's not just bad for the animals, it's bad for our society in general, and we can figure out a new and better way to interact. That's what I'm really excited about. I think we can solve these problems. We just need the best minds and the best people focused on it. We need people not to be bystanders. They need to be involved in the process. You know, they need to listen to your show and take the action that we're talking about. And don't leave it up to you or don't leave it up to me. It's up to all of us to make a difference in this world.
Absolutely. Good words of advice. I agree with that wholeheartedly. So everybody needs to get involved and continue to get involved. Don't give up. Don't get distracted by everything around you, because there's the more good people we have on the cause, the better off we're going to be.
Absolutely. And I really hope that people, you know, go to humanesociety.org. They can get my blog, which I write every weekday. They can find out about what's going on and be part of the collective action that we're trying to organize to make a difference in the world.
Absolutely. So, yeah, go to humanesociety.org, check out Wayne's blog. Also, you can check out the book, The Bond, and get it through harpercollins.com. Also, it's available in all major bookstores. So we've been talking to Wayne Pacelli about the book, The Bond, Our Kinship with Animals, Our Call to Defend Them. Wayne, I want to thank you for coming on Animal Rights and Pet Life Radio today. Keep up the great work, and we'll be talking to you again down the road sometime.
Tim, you're doing great work. Thank you for spreading the word. Thank you for having me on. It's been a real pleasure.
Our pleasure. Our pleasure. Thanks again to Wayne Pacelli for coming on board today. Wayne Pacelli, President of the Humane Society of the United States. Go ahead and pick up a copy of the book, The Bond, Our Kinship with Animals and Our Call to Defend Them. It's a great read. It'll really open your mind and realize that we're doing his group, as well as everybody else, is doing great work out there. We need to continue to do more. There's a lot more to do out there, a lot more areas we need to focus on. And the book, The Bond, will definitely get you enlightened to that as well. So we're coming to the end of the show here briefly, but we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back. I got to leave you with my tidbit of the week. So everybody hang tight. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
Love your pets but wish their medications were a lot less expensive? They are at 1-800-PETMEDS. You'll not only save on flea and heartworm medications, but on prescriptions for arthritis, incontinence, thyroid, and more. And you get fast service, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, our licensed pharmacists ensure accuracy, monitor drug interaction, and more. See why over 5 million people have trusted their pet's health to 1-800-PETMEDS, America's largest pet pharmacy. Call now or order online.
Go to PetMeds.com/Lucky, L-U-C-K-Y, to get 10% off any order and free shipping on orders of $39 or more at PetMeds.com.
There's a movement afoot, ShoeBuy.com. Join the millions of people who shop ShoeBuy.com's over 400 brands and 500,000 products. Order now and get free shipping and free return shipping. ShoeBuy.com, the world's greatest shoe store.
Walk your dog in style and comfort. Enter the code LUCKY, L-U-C-K-Y, at checkout and get a 10% discount plus free shipping at ShoeBuy.com.
How would you like your business to reach out and invite in our audience? We have a brand new trademark concept called InfoSeeds. InfoSeeds are short, 20-second seeds of information about your place of business, practice, or service. Is the best, most cost-effective way to invite us in. We only have a limited number of slots left. For more information, visit the website.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Click on sponsorship information. There you can listen to a sample of InfoSeed. Remember, only a limited number of opportunities are available.
When you're looking to add a pet into your life, consider adopting a homeless animal from your local shelter or rescue group. Whether you want a kitten, puppy, or a more mature pet, a purebred or a one-of-a-kind mixed breed, even a rabbit or hamster, your shelter has the best selection of animals anywhere, all screened for good health and behavior. PetLifeRadio.com presents Take Me Home with your host, Susan Daffron. Join us each week as we showcase wonderful pets, tell stories, and even throw some pet education into the mix. So get ready to find out why the pet adoption option can be a great way to add a furry companion into your life. Take Me Home every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. So we were talking to Wayne Pacelli, the president of the Humane Society of the United States, about his new book, The Bond. Everybody go pick up a copy of that. You can check out Wayne and his blog and the book, The Bond, at the humanesociety.org. Or you can go to his publisher, harpercollins.com, or it's available in all major bookstores and online. So pick up a copy, get enlightened a little bit more, and help the cause, help those wonderful animals out. So the tidbit, I want to leave you, I always give you good advice, stories I find in the news I think are fascinating or little things that I think will help you out. And this one's coming directly from the Humane Society of the United States. So you can check it out, humanesociety.org. And the topic is disaster preparedness. Disaster preparedness. Now, I don't know if you ever thought about having your own personal plan for disaster preparedness and how that impacts your animals, but you know, we never know when a natural disaster is going to happen. Recently, in light of the recent earthquake and tsunami in Japan, natural disasters have been in the forefront of everyone's mind. And you never know when or where a natural disaster is going to hit. So you got to have a plan. You have to have a plan for yourself, but also make sure you have a plan for your pets. Now, on the Humane Society of the United States, the HSUS, they have a great webpage that helps you design your plan for yourself and for your pets. Here are three basics that you need to know. First of all, put together a plan. Prepare a plan, even for the everyday emergencies, including identifying a place to stay that will accept not only yourself and your family, but your pets. So put the plan in place, even for everyday emergencies. It doesn't have to be a natural disaster. It could be something that's happening inside of your house or in your home or in your neighborhood. Secondly, develop a checklist for all pet supplies and medical information. Put together your checklist in advance so you know what to take with you in order for your pet to have everything they need as well as what you need. So put together the complete pet supply list and medical information list. And a third is identify a friend, a neighbor, or a family member who can take care of your pet when you are away. So you can't always take your pet with you. It's not always conducive. But if there's a situation where you have to leave the pet with someone, make sure it's someone you know, a good friend, a good neighbor, or a good family member to help you out. Now, in light of a lot of the natural disasters, especially with Katrina happening here in the United States, you know, the federal government now is officially supporting, including pets in national disaster plans. And in 2000, the HSUS and FEMA signed a partnership agreement to encourage and assist people who want to safeguard their pets in a natural disaster. This agreement allows people to bring their pets with them to stay at the shelters, which was never in place before Katrina happened. But, you know, you can't assume that any shelter you go to will allow you to keep your dog or your cat or your pet. You have to make sure you plan ahead. So be sure and check with your local officials and confirm at your local shelters that you will be allowed to evacuate with your pets and that shelters that take people will take the pets in your area. So do your advance homework and put together your plan. Check with your local authorities, your local shelters, and make sure that you have everything in order. So you never know when a disaster is going to happen, whether it's a personal one or a natural disaster. So for more information about disaster preparedness for pets, even for livestock and for horses, you can visit my website. Go to petliferadio.com, click on the animal rights blog, and you'll have more information there. We'll actually have a link back to the humanesociety.org where you can read up on their disaster preparedness plans. So visit petliferadio.com, click on the animal rights blog, and find out more about how to put together your disaster preparedness plan. So that's your little tip from Uncle Tim. We're glad to provide it for you. Put those plans in place and make sure your animals are well taken care of. So we're wrapping up the show, coming to the show, end of the show today. So I'd like to thank everyone for listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Once again, I want to thank Wayne Pacelli for coming on the show, for talking to us about his book, The Bond. I want to thank our sponsors and the producers for making this show possible. So thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to bring you great guests and great topics and great books. To find out more about me, Tim Link, and other guests that I've interviewed and guests that I will be interviewing on my Animal Rights show and reading about the blog, wonderful stories and tidbits there, you can go to petliferadio.com. And click on the animal rights icon and listen to the shows and download them and read up on the blog and all the advice that I could possibly give you. While you're there, also make sure you check some of the other hosts and some of the other shows on Pet Life Radio. We've got a whole plethora of wonderful hosts and shows and people that we interview, so check them all out. Spend some time on the wonderful website. If you have any questions, comments, ideas for the show, or guests you'd like to see on the show, you can email me. Email me at tim@petliferadio.com. That's tim@petliferadio.com. And I'll do my very best to answer your questions, entertain your comments, and bring on the best guests that you want to hear the most. So until next time, write a great story about the animals in your life, share it in a blog, article, or in a book. And who knows, you may be the next guest on Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have a great day.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.